June 28th, 2025. Back again, and this is a long recording day over on my end. A hot and sweaty Saturday. Welcome back to the Very Terrible Podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm David.
And we're back for another one. Welcome back, Dave.
Nice to be back. You haven't kicked me off the show yet.
Not yet, buddy. Hey, you're technically in the original name. You were in the original name. So whenever this makes it big time, I have to bring you a giant cardboard check.
Yeah.
When they ship me away. We recorded the season 3 obligatory bookend episode where Bella came on and she was on camera. And then she actually like used her whole name and then she talked about her boyfriend and it was like all this stuff just came out. I'm like, all right, it's out there. And then we screwed up the audio. So the audio is messed up. So for like the last 2.5 hours, I was trying to patch it together. And then whenever it makes it to YouTube, it's not quite right. The first 3 minutes are just off by like 6 seconds. And then the board picks up and then like that part goes. And then it's just a half a second off. So whatever you do, when you see that next episode, just don't look at the mouse. And it's fine. A complete amateur hour horse piss. And once again, I might.
So the problem was the board?
No. We started the recording, right? And normally what will happen, like when you and I do it and when I normally do it, I'll do dry runs. And I will have, I'll turn on the cameras and I'll hit record and I'll just say things. You know, how does it sound? How does it look? Or, you know, is everything matching up appropriately? And for some reason, I didn't do that. We just set the cameras up and B didn't know if she wanted to be on camera or not. But then she saw herself on camera and she says, oh, I look pretty good. I'll be on camera. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, we started hitting record and we're talking. And like, we're only 3 minutes into it. And I went, you know what? We should probably just make this a test run. She's like, nah, let's just go. I'm like, all right, we're just going to go. And I went through the whole thing. Half an hour later, you know, a full, you know, just regular show, I go back and I hit play and it sounds like I'm talking outside the window. Like, it's just muffled and it's crap. And what it was is the camera or the microphone I selected was the microphone inside the webcam.
Oh.
So it sounded echoey and bad and off. So I had audio that recorded on the board. So I had to go in the editing program. I put the audio from the board over the video from the camera, but those first 3 minutes didn't exist on the board. So they're just garbage. So it's not my most, not my finest hour. But
yeah, I use the microphone on my webcam, but it doesn't sound too bad.
No, yours sounds all right. And you'll see when it comes up on YouTube. And then I put it back into this Riverside program. And then I let AI try to touch up. AI did a good job touching it up, kind of getting everything put back together, but it's just not quite right. So hopefully you and I are doing a better job now. We're just going straight into Riverside. We're not messing around with the other programs. I don't have more than one camera going, and I think we should be okay, but now B is on camera, which is it's going to upgrade the show.
Yeah.
And then she was talking about, like, if we ever get famous. I told her, I said, yeah, she wants to do this for her college. And, you know, whether she gets college credit or she gets something for a resume or whatever, or for her, what are they called? Not college resumes, applications. And I guess there's a part where, like, if you've done things with media or broadcasting, you get some kind of a check in the box. So that's hopefully she'll get to enjoy some of that.
They're like, what podcast were you on? She's like, it was very terrible.
It's going to be the Achilles heel of this whole thing because, Lori had brought it up before. She said, you know, do you want to change the name? And I'm like, no, this has been the name since 2014. Like, this is it. And we got merchandise now. We have all kinds of merchandise.
We got to fire back up Very Terrible Angler.
I know.
Or was it Very Average Angler?
Very Average Angler. Yeah, Very Terrible Podcast, Very Average Angler.
We were really patting ourselves on the back there.
Hey, if you come in low and you mess it up, they just expect it because it's in the title. Yeah. If you knock it out of the park, everyone's pleasantly surprised. So speaking of new merch, check this out. So this is the newest of the podcast shirts. Sticker Mule has come out with two-sided shirts. So it was always just logo on the front. You had your choice of small logo, little small in the center, or big logo on the front. Talking to him, hey, T-shirts we buy aren't like that. T-shirts we buy are going to be like the one I'm wearing now. So we got small logo, 10-year anniversary logo on the front. But and then the chair's going to squeak, but whatever.
Oh, that's huge. Yeah. Where's mine?
It is huge. What's that?
Where's mine?
It's in the Sticker Mule store. All you got to do is order it.
And I need a little, on the other side, a little David Lee deal.
Yeah, you can. We can absolutely do that. But I, it's out now on the Sticker Mule Very Terrible Podcast store. And then we don't do any markups, right? So this is just when the when a customer goes and they want to get some podcast stuff. We've sold two T-shirts already.
Oh.
I know, right? I mean, it's hot off the presses. But two T-shirts bought by a customer, and but there's no markup for us. Like, I didn't raise the prices at all to try to bring any profit to us.
Is that your sister and Eric?
Yeah. Oh, no, actually, no. The two were just my sister.
Oh.
Eric's going to want it for free. Oh. So, but... And that's not, oh, and then let's see. We talked about I've got to do like a whole thing for Sticker Mule. Like, we've got sticker packs now. Did I show you the sticker packs last time? I think I did.
I think so.
Little envelopes with the stickers in it.
Oh, you got to give that to our street team.
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm gonna do is, but then we've got the bubble envelopes, right? So we got the bubble envelopes, and in the envelope, we can have koozies and sticker packs and all that stuff. And I'm probably going to have to mail it to Mrs. your wife, because she actually watches the episodes except for the ones with you in it. So
yeah,
I'll put that in the mail and I'll address it to her.
I can't listen to myself talk either, so I can't blame her.
No?
She has to live with my ass all day anyways. Through the ups and the downs.
Yeah, I to be fair, I'm the opposite. I listen to myself talk constantly, but no one ever listens to me.
Hey, you know how to find yourself a fucking microphone or a camera, I'll tell you that.
I'm telling you, right? I got screwed on the news there 2 weeks ago. Did you see that?
Screwed on the news.
They came to me. Well, they came to the fire department, and they said, we want to do a story about people who stop in the intersections and are blocking the intersections, trying to run through the red lights, and, you know, they get kind of caught halfway. So it's called Don't Block the Box, and PD puts out this little... cartoony little infomercial on Facebook about it. So the news reaches out. They want to do a story on it. They come to the fire department. Well, they come to me and they say, let's talk about emergency response and people blocking intersections, on and on and on. I do a 20-minute interview on camera with a reporter. They record all this stuff. They record B-roll footage. I go to watch the 11 o'clock news. I stay up late to watch it. It's two sentences. They edited out the whole thing.
Well, it's an hour-long program. They're not going to put 20 minutes of Jason Spinner in there.
Yeah, but give me more than two sentences. I mean, there was more of, like, by John Q. Public on there. Some, like, redneck kid wearing a Marlboro hat. He's like, well, you know, it's hard to get around Kate Cole, so bitch. It is ridiculous. So I had that. And then
I think the news wants people that are, like, they want to find, the lowest common denominator at a gas station and just put them out there. Because, like, here's the Joe Public.
That's exactly what it must be, because that's what came through in that news report. So I gently told our what's called a PIO, public information officer. I told her, I said, let's not deal with this reporter anymore. We're done with him.
Oh,
put him off to the
side. Oh, you're gonna already start flexing your PR muscle.
The talent says no.
You're like, sorry, I prepared way too much for that.
Yeah, you know, I had to shave my face in the middle of the day and it hurt. Oh, and then.
Have you talked about that other video you did with, your poor little intern that you got with his...
That one was another one, too. It's this college kid. He comes...
I'm going to cut his mustache off.
Oh, the Peter's mustache? Peter's mustache is cool, man. And that's real. I said, that's not... Everybody was asking me...
Oh, I bet it's going to be fucking gone when I meet him.
So, well, here's the weird thing about Peter is that Peter came to us from the city of Seattle. He has 7 years experience, and he's one of the most interesting people you've ever met. He's an actual, like, boat captain for up to 38-foot frigate boats or something. He's got, he's a midwife. He delivers his own kids. All this weird, like, these weird, every time you talk to him, you learn a new fact about him and all these interesting things. Well, he was in the city of Seattle during COVID, and the city of Seattle laid him off because he refused the shot. And now that he's working over here, him and all of the people that were laid off filed a class action lawsuit, and they are winning against the city of Seattle, and they are going to be apparently compensated, you know, and then whenever the court case is over, I'm sure it'll be official, but, like, they've wanted numbers now of how much he makes now and all this other stuff, and they're going to compensate him for wrongful termination.
Yeah, they're going to compensate the attorneys, like, $6 million, and he'll get, like, $42.
I don't know how it works, but, like I said, it's very interesting. I mean, the guy is... It was easy to have him as a new firefighter because he had 7 years experience. he knew everything what to do. He knew how the games are played. He knew everything. So that was nice. So that's much different than a lot of the new firefighters we get. But yeah, that video. All right, so that video. This college kid reaches out to the fire chief himself, finds his name, reaches directly out to him, says, "I'm in a film class. I want to record a documentary about a firefighter at the beginning of his career and a firefighter at the end of his career and do something about that." And they said, okay. And of course, you know, if there's a camera and a microphone, who's going to go on it?
Somebody call Spinner.
Yep. So they did. And I just happen to have Peter with me, who's a new, on air quotes, new firefighter. And I'm like, he already knows what to do. His wife does social media and does all that stuff. So he's on camera all the time too. So a lot of this just, it was easy for us. Now, that's what made it difficult was...
That the midwife?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, oh, no, seriously, like, he, like, while he was with us, they had their second baby, and he left in the middle of the day, and then we got to watch the edited version of him delivering the baby on Instagram the next day. I mean, it was on Instagram. I'm like...
Jacob came out in the bathtub.
Yeah, yeah, he had him in a pool in the middle of the living room or something. So,
I'd prefer to be at a hospital.
Yeah, but he apparently knows what he's doing. So, yeah, but, yeah, so this kid comes in, and he records for, I'm telling you, it was like 2-3 weeks. All day till like dinner time, and we're like, you need to go. It was a 4-minute video. He recorded for 3 weeks. I have no idea what, like, so much that he didn't use.
And, you're going to call his publicist and be like, I'm not doing this again.
Well, it was for a school grade, right? And that was the thing. At least he got 100 on the grade, but like, it's a weird college in the middle of the state that nobody really goes to. It's like, it's an online college for film school, and everything was kind of just one off. But either way, there's a little video. It came out, and
I expected this to be a docu-series.
Yeah, yeah, I really thought there'd be more of, especially more of me in it. But you get what you get. I don't know.
You're gonna have to send Bella to film school and make her have a documentary about you.
Not for nothing. I wouldn't be against it if she enjoyed this part of it and then got wrapped up in, like, I don't even know, just doing the news or doing whatever she wanted to do. But she's on a very studious path, going to be somewhere in medicine, or she enjoys forensics, so she'll be doing something along those lines, whatever she chooses.
Those traveling nurses, if I could go back in time, those traveling nurses make
killing. Big money. Yeah, and what is it? Josh's brother-in-law is a traveling nurse, and he's traveled all around the country, and they've paid for everything, and he's finally settled down now, and he did a stint over in Oregon, I guess, and he likes it up there, so he's like, yep, I'm going to move there now, and he just packed up all of his stuff, and he lives in Oregon.
Yeah, she's always talking about going to Montana, but she could go see everywhere and figure out what she likes.
Yeah. Well, that's what, and the, you'll, I'm wondering too, is that I don't know if she'd like to see live patients. She has an affinity for,
like,
the dead ones.
So you're saying she wants to be a mortician.
Yeah, she's okay with the dead ones more than the live ones. So
that's not a nurse.
No, it's not a very good nurse if it is. But we'll see. Obviously, she's got the world's her oyster right now. She's got great grades. She's going to a special high school to get her associates when she's done. So she's going to be well on her way to doing whatever it is that she wants to do. But either way, yeah, she spent time with us this morning. We made the episode. That'll come out probably today. The stuff that you and I are doing now, I'll probably put out Monday or Tuesday. And that is basically what's going on with her. And then we got on the TikTok.
We're on the TikTok.
Not that we're doing funny.
You were already on TikTok. Bella's like, you got to add the podcast on TikTok. I'm like, I do. And she's like, that's the wrong one.
That's the wrong one. I guess she made one back when it first started, but didn't want to be the social media manager she was going to be, and then that one went dead. So now there's a different one.
So you're the social media manager?
Yeah, self-managing. I got to tell you, it's more work than I thought. It is a lot more work than I thought, because you could sit there all day and, like, just uploading clips and uploading videos, and each one has to go to different places, and sometimes one program will put it in 2 or 3 spots, which is nice, but each program has different editing. So you'll see, like, on Instagram, like, I don't have the fun little logos that I'll have on TikTok, because TikTok, you can put the little logos in on the screen, like, so where Lori and I had the ones where we were talking about Diet Coke and McDonald's and all that. I could put a McDonald's logo. I could put a Diet Coke logo. I could make them dance. I could do things. And you can't do that on Instagram. So, like, those two videos, you have to do them separate. YouTube Shorts has its own, you know, editing program. It's, I don't know.
With TikTok, I'm just trying to, you have to post every day.
Well, I was going to ask, all right, so let me ask you this question then, because I'm also getting pushback because Bella says, no, if you do that, you get what's called shadow banned.
No, TikTok wants you to go, and technically TikTok wants you to post a lot, and they want you to go live.
Really?
Yeah. So really, we should take your phone on the next one, put it on TikTok, and just make it go live and film.
Really?
I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Broadcast our split screen somehow, but.
Yeah, or not even that. I could take the phone, put it up in the Ring cam that's over there, and then just have it recording, and it'll see the whole thing. It'll be like a behind the scenes while we're making the show that they could also watch later.
Yeah, and you have a link to the, well, we're not doing it live, so.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I don't know. Either way, it's a lot of work. It's a lot more work than I thought it was. Like, I just thought I'd get on there once a day and be done with it, but, like, you go through a half an hour here, a half an hour there, and then the worst part is, like, the traction's not where I thought it would be. YouTube Shorts is giving us the best traction. We've got, like, thousands of views on each video on YouTube Shorts. I got a couple hundred on TikTok and a couple hundred with each one with Instagram, and that's it. And it's like nobody's actually following. They just scroll through, I guess, and it's just counting it.
Yeah, with TikTok, you got to, like, find, like, the most popular current, like, sound, which is, like, usually, like, a song or something. And you could put it in the video but mute it.
Really? So,
like, there's these weird little things you can do to make it.
And is it still owned by China? Is it still like the China thing?
I don't think it's actually ever really. I think it was owned by a company that has Chinese influence.
Oh, okay.
Was it like breakdance or some shit like that? Or
yeah.
But, I mean, everything's owned by. I mean, everything we're filming on right now is owned by China.
That's fair.
It's all silly. It's all silly because it's all. Whatever we talk about on the podcast is going to pop up in my Facebook ads.
Oh, know? That's right.
So they're listening. It's just a matter of, oh, the Chinese are listening.
They can have it. I mean, there's not a whole lot they can take from us.
Yeah.
Speaking of international tensions, we had started and then apparently ceasefired and then maybe started back up World War III again.
Yeah. Trump started and ended the war and declared it the 12-day war.
Yeah.
That was the most odd thing on the planet.
B was all in it. And this would be her first really like war she paid attention to. Now, you and I had Desert Storm and Afghanistan and everything else going. So we were just used to it where, you know, for her, this was her first one. And, you know, we were in Orlando for a conference and she's like watching it on her phone. And she's like, I don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to attack us here? Ba 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 ba. And then, you know, we're sitting there talking about different things. And, you know, then there's the ceasefire. So she goes to bed. She's all excited about the ceasefire. And I said, listen, here's the thing with the ceasefire. They're going to agree on paper and someone's going to throw a rocket launcher over, a rocket over just for funsies to just see what happens. And by the next morning, that's what happened. She's like, a ceasefire got broken. I'm like, I told you it would. It always does.
Yeah. They've been fighting for 4,000 years and they're going to fight for a couple thousand more until we blow each other all up.
Yeah. And not until the last one is dead is this thing ever going to end. So it's never going to be over.
Yep.
I don't know. It was interesting. So I went up to Orlando for a pension conference, and one of the presenters was a retired Navy admiral who she was the lead instructor at the Naval Academy for finance or something like that. So she was up there supposed to be talking to us about money. Now, this is right as the rockets were launched at the six rockets that were launched at the U.S. base that somebody else shot out of the air.
There was like. I think there was 14 missiles because we dropped 14 bombs on them. So they shot 14 missiles at one of our bases, but they told us like a week in advance that they were going to come.
Yeah, something like that. So, well, before it, like as it was happening, she's on stage and she's like, oh, she goes, well, let me tell you what's happening right now. And she starts breaking down the whole thing. And it was really interesting coming from her because she's privy to all this stuff. And she's like, does anybody know about uranium? She goes, raise your hand if you know about uranium. And nobody really knows about it. She goes, it comes from the earth. You literally can scoop it up with your hand and eat it, and it won't hurt you. She goes, How much does uranium go if you wanted to buy it? Anybody, it's $50 a pound. You can buy uranium all day long. She goes, what it is the enrichment process. She goes, you have to have the machines and the tools to do it. But she goes, if you enrich uranium, she goes, you can enrich it to a point where it becomes suitable for power plants and all that. She goes, once it becomes for power plants, she goes, the process is supposed to stop. If you continue to enrich it, she goes, that's what it makes it weapons grade, and that's what everybody's looking at. So that's what they were looking at with Iran as far as they had the capabilities to continue enriching it. So they were going to make it into weapons grade, and that's not what anybody wanted. And all this other stuff. She goes, now, she goes, you take that out and you make it weapons grade. Now, she goes, go back to the machine that you just got done using it for plutonium or for uranium. She goes, you scrape the inside of the barrel. And she goes, that's plutonium. And she goes, and plutonium is what they use on the big atom bomb. And she broke down the whole thing. It was so cool. We were supposed to be talking about money. She's talking about bombs and blowing things up. I was like, this is great.
Yeah, I think they're not supposed to go past 60%. But
yeah. Yeah, but it's interesting. Yeah, she goes, it's harmless. She goes, just walk up, scoop it in your hand and eat it. She goes, it wouldn't even hurt you.
But there's no, like, Iran sees North Korea, and they're crazier than, they're batshit crazy.
Yeah.
But nobody fucks with them because they have the bomb.
Yeah.
So what's the, why would Iran say we don't want one? They probably already have one.
Yeah, I would assume that they did. You would have to assume so.
I mean, everybody knows Israel has nuclear weapons.
Well, because we gave it to them.
I don't know if we gave them to them or they made their own or they borrowed it from a friend.
What is it? The one that one strike that they did was like F-38s. I mean, isn't that our new plane?
F-35s, yeah.
Yeah, that's our new plane.
Yeah.
But they get it.
Yeah, we just they have pictures of us being pegged.
Yeah.
Because we're just like, hey, you want to bomb all of your neighbors? Here's a bunch of weapons.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
And we don't know why they're all mad at you.
Well, that's what I was trying to... Well, Bella had asked. She was like, why are we involved in this stuff? I said, here's the deal. I said, you're either going to fight it in their backyard or you're going to fight it in our backyard. Where do you want to fight it? And I was like, that's how this is going to go. So, you don't want them fighting over here.
No. Well, Iran doesn't have anything that can reach here, so...
No, they don't have anything that can reach Israel.
Oh, well, they do. It's not super accurate.
That Iron Shield thing or whatever that they was it the Iron
the Iron Shield? Dome,
the Iron Dome or whatever, that thing shot everything out of the sky.
Some got through.
Oh, I'm telling you, you got to figure they got screwed up too. Is like because when they had, I mean, even in the 90s with the Desert Storm in Iraq and all that stuff. So Iraq's getting hit. They're just sitting around next door. You know, they got shit kicked out of them too by accident.
I think we're Israel's like our proxy to do fun shit for our military.
Yeah, it might be.
Because they do some, like, what was it, with the, all the Hamas terrorists? Like, they did this most elaborate, like, CIA scheme ever where they all somehow gave all the terrorist pagers and they all liked them. And, like, they're all walking around and they all blow up at the same time.
Yeah.
And then with Iran, I guess somehow they had got, their central intelligence in Iran so worked up that they all had a meeting and they all got in the same room and they blew them all up at the same time.
That is awesome.
Like... They do stuff that you're like, that's not them. That's
yeah. Somebody really thought of something clever. That's got to be us.
Yeah. Mm. And we have all the fun toys. And more important than that, we have all the contractors that want you to blow things up so they could buy or build more things to blow up.
Yeah. Yeah. And what a better testing ground. You know, like I said, you got something you want to try out. You can't just go up to Nevada and blow stuff up. You got to take it out somewhere where you can really make a mess.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I guess they dropped like 5 of those giant bombs in like a 8-foot manhole cover in the top of a mountain. Like,
really? Jesus.
Like, no, how does that
better, work? Better there than here. But. And that's it. So we were at this pension conference all week, and to be fair, like this was the annual conference, so there was very little like education going on. But
is that similar to the one we went to in Miami with Steven Spielberg's boat?
That was a legal conference. Same idea, right? Minor touch on education, major touch on partying and drinking all you can drink. But yep. I think that's every conference at this point.
Most conferences I go to, it's the people are just there to drink and party and have a good time and not absorb any of the information. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And then write off everything on their taxes. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not the most people person, but I'm starting to get to the point where I feel comfortable at those events. But it's not, I'm not like, oh, I get to go here this week. And then when we go with work, it's work. You're supposed to go and, you know, have a book report when you're done and who'd you talk to and all this. Ugh. Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Well, is it all the same people every time you go?
I haven't been a lot. They've actually just started letting me go to stuff like that. So I know just working in the industry for so long, like there's people that I have known for, you know, a decade that are there.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that there's like a core group of people that are there and go there a lot. And then, you know, the new people that come and go.
Yeah, that's basically what mine is, too. I've been doing this pension thing for 13 years, and it's the same people over and over to where there's a new series. There's a national series that's coming around. They're going to come to Fort Lauderdale in, I think it's, let's say October. And it says looking for speakers. And I'm like, oh, I'd have a live audience and a microphone. I got to find something to talk about between now and October. So I'm going to put together, I think, a presentation and hand it in and see if they'll let me do it.
I'm good at talking, but I can't, like, presentations, just, like, I have to have bullet points and know what I'm talking about and just riff.
Yeah.
Like, if it's, like, read this slide, like, you might just forget about it.
Well, yeah, but you've been in the audience. You don't like them. That's the reason why. They're terrible.
And if I try to do that, I'm terrible. Because there's certain, like, times where once a month we have a national call at work and there's, you know, 100 to 150 people on there that, you know, there's times where I have to talk. Mm-hmm. Or every time I have to talk. But if there's something like that's very specific that I have to read, like a contractual language, like that just sucks. But
yeah, that's no fun at all.
If I know the top, like most of the stuff I know, like I could just riff about it. And I'm just like, here's a bullet point. Talk about it. You know, don't. And it's mostly don't do stupid shit. So,
yeah. And that's the way it should be. Yeah. If you have, you have your stuff, you get your bullet points. It's one or two keywords. You elaborate on it. They are supposed to pay attention and then you can hand them the slides when you're done. Hopefully they remembered all the stuff. I went to one this past conference. The woman had an app or whatever it is she did, had QR codes in the presentation. So she is talking about, I don't know, name the talking about difficult times in your life and the challenges that people face and blah, 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 blah. So she goes, all right, everybody take out your phones and you just scan this QR code. You scan the QR code with your phone. A quiz thing comes up on your phone. And as you send in the answer, her system grabs all the answers and puts it on her phone. And she can sit there and talk about without naming names like, oh, this person said this and this person said that. And we have somebody in the audience that said this. And I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Interactive.
I'm like, that's neat. Because, I mean, the first thing I want to do is if I get a microphone and I get in front of, you know, 450 to 1,000 people, I'm going to go, I flew all the way here from Fort Myers and boy, are my arms tired. I'm going to have somebody with a rim shot thing. So I don't know. That's coming up. I want to see if I can put together something for that.
So what would it be about?
I think I want to talk about now. So we go to conferences and we talk about money managers and money management and the stock market. And we talk about all these things. The something that we don't talk about. And even like a lot of times you and I are living it right now is that no one ever talks to us about the end user, the retirees. What are the retirees' challenges? What is it that they don't know? Why aren't they being educated on certain things until after it's too late? And how should a pension trustee interact with these people on certain durations of time throughout their career so when they go to leave they have all the information they need and they don't feel scared and they don't feel like they're going to make a mistake? That's what I think I'd put together.
I always thought about that at my work. Like I think I'm probably one of the only people that we don't have a giant, you know, 401k or anything like that, but you know, I would like to help people with financial stuff, but there's a fine line between giving people advice and then giving them financial advice that,
right,
you know, that's illegal.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. So what I do is I teach people how to read all of the stuff, what all of the terminology means, and I give them a very basic overview, and I just tell them, I am not going to tell you what to do. I am not going to give you any direction on how you want to set up. This is a discussion for you and your family, but this is what the terms mean. This is how the website works. This is how a portfolio is set up in its very most basic form. and then I send them on their way. And usually that's enough.
And if you want to be like me, you're going to do dollar cost averaging and do this on Friday at 4 p.m. and da, da, da,
da. There are so many ways to skin this cat, you know, when it comes to the money and all that other stuff. Like, we have our very good friend, Jason, is into options now. So, and he's actually one of our top YouTube watchers. So he's going to watch this video and he's going to say, hey, look, they're talking about me.
Which so, one? Which Jason?
Otis.
Oh. He never really got into that, but.
No, and that's the thing is, it's very interesting. He'll talk to you about it, and he breaks it all down, and he's given me some assignments as far as, hey, watch these YouTube videos, so I've got to go ahead and watch the YouTube videos so I can try to keep up and have a conversation about it. It's just a different way to do it.
That's almost betting people fail, right?
It can be, yeah. And once again, I can't really speak on it too much because I don't know it as well as he does.
Yeah, I'm a
but that's what, you know, what I should do is I should send him the link to his phone, and he could get on the podcast with us one day. And then he can start breaking it down for us.
I'm a sad panda that Robinhood now, like, they've banned some partial trades now.
Again?
Yep.
Huh. Because they did that when people were making too much money on, was it GameStop, wasn't it? When GameStop was dipping?
I think that if something becomes, like, something that's trending in the media or something like that, that's, like, not, like, based in some sort of... It's all speculation anyways, but
sure.
If something's just going ham like GameStop or Dogecoin or something like that, I think they were trying to put a lid on it. But what I'm talking about is I could buy Berkshire Hathaway A, yeah. Which is
A. Class A shares. Yeah.
$500,000 a share.
Right.
So yep. David Lee from Joe Schmo Northport can go in there and throw his money in the pool and hang out with the big boys.
Yep.
Which, since I put my money in there 3 years ago, it's gone up 70%.
Oh, absolutely. And that was Warren Buffett's. That's Warren Buffett's baby.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, that's performing really well. Let me put some more money in there. Nope. You are no longer allowed to add money into this fund as a partial share. I'm like, okay, I'll just wait till I have the next $500,000 so I can buy one share.
Yeah. Well, what you would do is, I think on that is you could just finally, you should be able to find a mutual fund that has it in it, and then that's going to be the exposure you're going to get. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to assume that the game is rigged, and you got to be fine with that. You have to understand that this is not exactly the most free of free markets. And you're allowed to play along, and you're allowed to make a little, you know, nickels and dimes here and there, but, you know, for you to hit a home run like the big boys do, that's probably just not going to happen because, like you just noticed, you can't play in their sandbox.
Yeah, I use Robinhood for my fun money. It's my risky and like, stupid investments, I call them. But I do pretty damn good. I think I've told you about it, that Unusual Whales, where they talk about the congressmen and senators that who they're investing in.
Yes.
And 9 times out of 10, it's, you know, it performs very, very well.
It is. It is amazing. And it's... Once again, you're allowed to make your smaller increments nice and slow and steady, and that's all we need. I mean, we're pretty fortunate. We got decent jobs. We're making good salaries. We're saving our extra money, and it's making us a small enough, you know, a decent enough return where we're going to be okay, you know, plus or minus World War III and over-the-top inflation. So
you say that, but I want fuck-you money.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not going to do anything stupid. But
I just want to be able to do something stupid.
I want to be able to be at work one day and have a bad day, which I could, but I could just say, y'all can go pound sand. I'm going to go be a bagger at Winn-Dixie again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, to be fair, it's like, if you really just go through your regular life, you know, and you get to the end of your working career, that's where you're going to end up anyway. You're going to end up with some kind of a retirement that you've saved and you've worked hard for. You're still hopefully going to have, you've maintained your health, and then you're going to go be that Walmart greeter or the Winn-Dixie bagger, and you're just going to walk around and you're going to be the guy that we used to work with. You remember those people, like the old guys with the giant gold chains and the,
what was it,
and
Bud?
The attitudes. What's that?
Remember Bud? Wasn't that his name? He had like real curly hair at Winn-Dixie at 737.
I remember an Italian guy who used to keep his shirt like wide open and stuff like that. And he had like the heavy gold chains, and he just had this FU attitude to everybody all day long because he didn't need the job. He just wanted to get out of the house.
I think his name was Bud.
Maybe it was him.
Yeah, he was always super nice. And then there was the old grumpy guy in the dairy department. And he was like Italian. He looked like he kills people. He worked with Doug.
Doug. Yeah. No,
well, I remember Doug that. Was the manager, but he worked for Doug. And he was, you know, he could only work like, you know, 5 hours a week or something. But he came in, told mob stories, threatened to kill people, and went home.
Yeah, that's all. That's all he needed. But that's going to be you. That's going to be you in the future. That you may not have the complete. You're not going to buy a yacht with your FU money, but you'll be able to tell people at Winn-Dixie to go pound sand.
I'll be able to put a trolling motor on my kayak.
Exactly, big time. And then you can start your. Then you can start the very average angler back up.
I need to start it back up.
I know.
It's just so hot right now.
It sucks. It really sucks out. But, you know, the worst part, I was sitting there by accident. I was clicking around on the weather app. Yes, it's hot outside. Yes, it's humid outside. But, like, it was 89 or something like that at the time. And I looked at, like, I can't remember, something like Kansas City or something like that came up. And it was, like, 96. And I went, oh, it's even hotter there.
It is.
I think we get the sea breeze.
With that, you get 112% humidity.
Yeah. It was day before yesterday. It wasn't humid at all. I don't know where it went. We were walking around outside. I'm like, this is nice. I don't know where it all went, but they can have it. And then when you signed on to the show here today, I was watching Mike's weather page update. And then like I said, he's talking about that little Yucatan storm that's winding up, but it's going to go into Mexico.
The old drunk donkey.
Yeah. We got the fire department hurricane projections and all that for this year. And they said, yeah, the number of storms will be up and this will be up and that'll be up. But I guess they're really not overly, they're not crying like end of the world stuff. They're like, hey, it's going to be, what is it, the El Nino or whatever the one is where it curves early.
Yeah, there's
so it's like
El Nino, La Nina, then there's the mixture of the two. And
yeah.
I don't think they know what the hell's going on.
You can't, really. You can't tell. But either way, they weren't overly excited about it. Like, I was expecting, oh, it's end of days. Here it comes. Charlie and Ian all over again and all this stuff. They're like, nah, it'll be fine. You might get one or two medium because it ain't going to be nothing like that. Don't even. I'm like, okay. Well, if we go back to work, I guess.
Yeah, Cat 1s and Cat 2s do not even, like, phase me. But the problem is if you got a Cat 1 or Cat 2 heading your way, how many hurricanes have we seen that just go from like a 2 to a 5 within 6 hours before making landfall?
Well, it hits that shallow hot water.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is.
Gets that purple drink.
Yeah. Well, and that's what so when we were walking around up and we went to downtown Disney one of the days during the conference and all that stuff. And I was walking around with the girls and we were just talking about hurricane stuff. But when I talked to the people who live in Orlando, they say, it doesn't really matter. Whatever storm hits the coast at whatever number it is, by the time it gets to Orlando, just take away 2. So, like, a 5 is only a 3. A 2 is only a, you know, it's a tropical storm by the time it gets to Orlando because it just runs out of energy by the time it gets there. Now, these things lately have been bigger than the state. I mean, this thing, the eye is still sitting out over Pine Island and the arms are well into Orlando by this point. But, yeah, they've never had the stuff that we have.
Yeah. I've got hurricane fatigue. I could go another decade without another hurricane.
Yeah. I. Me too. I don't think. But once again, where are you going to go?
Tennessee.
Yeah, you get your tornadoes.
Yeah, I'll be single.
Yeah. Well, you live with a school teacher. She's on vacation, so you know
all the time it seems.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So now you got all kinds of help around the house.
Oh yeah. Betty Crocker.
Well, that's not so bad because I mean, you got the stuff that she deals with during the year is just ridiculous.
You come do my job. Yeah, I'll come Spartan kick a kid right out the window.
That's the problem is I don't think she's allowed to do the Spartan kicking.
I mean, you can. You just only do it once, but you'll make a point.
Oh God. So yeah. And then you had mentioned this earlier, the new thing that we should do every episode now is we're going to call it LCD, the lowest common denominator people that we run into. So we're going up to Orlando. We take 17. We stop at the only McDonald's in Wauchula. Everybody knows where it is because there's only one. And that's usually like our halfway point. So we stop in there and I go through the drive-thru. Lori likes the fries and the Diet Coke. I eat the burgers. Bella wanted a grilled cheese from Sonic across the street, which was a complete flop. I go into the drive-thru window and I'm already like, I've already been driving for an hour and a half. I'm just... I just want to, you know, have something quick to munch on. So what I do is I get the meal that we split up. It's the number 7 is the 2 cheeseburgers meal, right? I just give them to me as hamburgers. I eat the 2 hamburgers. They eat the fries and the soda. Everybody's happy. I pull up to the window and I said, hi, can I have a number 7 with just hamburgers instead of cheeseburgers? And there's dead silence. Oh, yeah. Yeah, hello? He's like, yeah, sir, yeah, we can't do that. So I'm already in my mode. I went, yeah, you can. I believe in you. So let's try this again. I'd like to have a number 7 meal, just hamburgers instead of cheeseburgers. And then she's like, no. I'm like, listen, just hit the number 7 button. And I said, go large size, Diet Coke. Now go number 7 without cheese. I go, that's what it is. And I go, a cheeseburger without cheese is a hamburger. So whether I piss them off or whatever, I had to talk them through it. I get up to the window. I pay for the stuff. I get my food and we leave. I open the bag to find
2 cheeseburgers.
2 sandwiches. One is a cheeseburger. And the other one in a cheeseburger wrapper is a cheeseburger that they opened up and just scraped everything off of and put it back on and put it back in the bag. So it didn't have any mustard, ketchup, onions, pickles, or cheese. It just meat and a bun with smear all over it. And I'm like, what? How? How is this even a thing? I mean, I get it. You're a McDonald's employee. I used to be one, too. But how do you not? I talked you through it. It's just hamburgers. It's the same sandwich, just without the not real cheese on it.
I think she was just a moron and thought that they're 2 separate things. She's like, if you would have said, give me a number, whatever.
7.
No cheese. She would just have hit the no cheese button and you'd have been on with your day.
I probably would have.
But she's like, he wants a hamburger, not a cheeseburger. And then she just couldn't compute the 2.
You know, I guess if I really think about it, it was a Saturday right after changeover at like the beginning of lunchtime. So it's all like teenagers that don't know any better. And it's like probably a Wachula teenager who's busy riding a horse all week or whatever they do out there.
Yeah, counting their sheep.
So if Wachula McDonald's, if you're watching, I tried to fill out the survey to get somebody to call me back and no one ever did. So bad service from Wachula McDonald's.
They don't know how to work the telephone.
Oh, my God. It was ridiculous. Well, and then you get the receipt and it says, you know, take the survey and you get a code number. And I take the survey and I put all my anger into the survey and it just gives me the 7 digits and that's it. It says, thank you for, you know, eating your horse meat McDonald's and have a great day. Son of a bitch.
It's Wachula. They'll send you a carrier pigeon in a year.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do enjoy the middle of the state. I do. I like that drive.
Wachula was our high school rival.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Okay. If you go further north, once you get past, was it Haines? Not Haines City. Haines City is off to the side.
Oh, Avon Park.
Yeah, and a little bit further, there's the town with all the big hills and stuff in it.
That's like Ocala.
Almost. They started putting, just before I-4, they've been putting these giant developments in. I mean, thousands and thousands of houses that they're just starting to shove into this area. And I'm like, I'm looking around, I told Lori, I'm like, not for nothing. They've got 3 giant developments. They need to have a Publix. They're going to have a Publix soon. You can see the money's coming. And it's not a, I mean, tell you, that'd be a kind of a cool area, I think. It's not, it's just off of I-4, so there's really nothing else going on out there yet. You're next to Orlando, but you're not in Orlando, and you're not in a coastline whatsoever.
Sounds like the Villages.
Where the Villages is off of 75, isn't it?
The Villages is in between Orlando and Gainesville, like kind of in the.
Oh, okay, so it's further north. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is just below I-4, but no, it was kind of cool. I'm like, oh, you know, that'd be something to think about too. But yeah, once again, I'm tired of the hurricanes. I'm tired of the coastline problems. So, I don't know. Got a year and a half left to figure it out.
Yeah, I don't want to move, though, because after the whole moving and building the house fiasco.
Right.
It's like, I'll go down with the ship.
The fact that you almost didn't get that house, you know, that's the worst part.
Yeah. For the people that don't know, my builder was doing a Ponzi scheme where I was the lucky one that they were building my house to show other people to buy more houses that were never going to get built.
Yep. So you were the last one.
The only thing I got screwed out of was my outdoor kitchen and my fence. that I've now paid for three times.
Oh, because of the storms?
Because I paid for it originally when I bought the house. They never did it. You know, he went out of business or whatever happened. So then I had to pay for it the second time to actually put it in. And then the hurricane took it. So then I had to pay for it the third time.
Yeah, I'm only on my second. I paid for the first one, then I paid for the second one. And then on those last year storms, I just figured out how to disassemble it, and I just disassembled the fence.
And it's so fucking infuriating. When I first originally did my fence, I wanted the whole backyard to be the 6-foot vinyl privacy deal.
Yeah.
And the city's like, you can't do that. You're on waterfront property. The back,
back 30 feet?
Back 20, 30 feet have to be chain link so, like, your neighbors can have a view of the water.
I'm like, they don't understand.
I can't see the ditch. The ditch. I have ditch front property. They're like, no, it's the waterway. I'm like, it's 80 feet from my house to the ditch.
Yeah.
And I don't have neighbors, you know. I don't know if it would change anything now that I own the lot to the left of me. I don't know if they would let me put a vinyl fence on the left side, but
I think there's another type too. You can do chain link or you can do 4-foot PVC, which doesn't do you any good really because the dog would just jump over it.
Yeah. A couple years ago she would have. Now the fat hooker can't jump that high.
Well, there you go. 4-foot PVC might just be your thing.
Well, now after the hurricane, it blew away like a tissue paper. So I was like, this is dumb. I just left the vinyl on the front so it looks nice from the front of the house. Like people driving by, they probably think I have like a privacy fence.
Yeah.
But it's just the opening, and then from the opening it's all chain link.
Yeah.
Cuz the lots next to me are wooded anyways, and I own the one lot. My neighbor that I know owns the other lot, and they have no ambitions of building, so I'm not really worried about privacy. So,
you know what I did like too was the chain link with the slits that you insert, and it kind of makes it semi-private.
Yeah, they have that, and they have a black vinyl mesh.
Josh has that on his.
And then, when the wind blows, it kind of flaps in the breeze a little bit.
Yep.
But.
Yep, that's what Josh has on his, because he did. He took the lot behind his. You know, he bought that one, and then he banded them together, I guess. And he did 6-foot chain link all the way around, and then he's got the black, that like you had said. And it's got these weird V-shapes in it, so when the wind blows, it just...
It doesn't rip the fence down.
Yeah, yeah, because it would. It would. But, no, that's... I'm with you. I don't. But there's no way around it. You don't have a choice. If you're going to live here, you're going to deal with it.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to get a fence that the wind will blow through.
Yeah. As long as I don't get the only thing I don't want is a leaky roof. I just don't want a leaky roof.
That was my biggest concern with the solar. Because,
man,
this is going to leak. But knock on wood, it doesn't leak. And the solar panels went through the hurricane perfectly fine. 6 hours, category 4 or 5 hurricane, just blowing like a freight train. Actually, at the backside of my house, right on my main panel. And none of them budged. And when those guys put it in, I was like, what's the chance? Like, what's going to happen to a hurricane? They said, if these panels come off your roof, you're not going to have a house.
Oh, wow.
And
all
I was
right.
like,
well, they weren't lying.
No, they weren't. And I was like, holy shit. But the roof got damaged. So I had to take them off to fix we don't have 3 hours left in our budget to talk about that on the podcast. And I might get put on a list for the anger that comes out of that conversation about Tesla and Elon Musk.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do. So then you got to have your own blog site, and you can start typing, and then that's completely free.
Yes. But that was the most infuriating. You talk about the lowest common denominator. Tesla customer service is the worst, and they know it. And it's not Tesla cars for, you know, all you, you know, everybody's got their pitchforks. I love my Tesla.
Yeah.
You know, calm down. No, this is his brother's company that was called Solar City that he bought to save it or whatever. And then it's literally, you cannot talk to a human. You have to go on an app. And if you argue with them for more than 2 volleys of messages, they just make the app crash.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've recorded it.
Oh, dang.
They're like, that's guy's funny. Angry. Oh, we lost power.
Did you see the new thing? That they have a new thing now. They said if you're on the phone with somebody you don't want to talk with, don't hang up on them. Just put your phone in airplane mode, and it says the call has been dropped, not that you hung up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's how you get out of a phone call with somebody you don't want to talk to.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, see? There you go. That's probably what they're doing to you.
Yeah. They're like, I did end up finding out that they had like a 1-800 number, and I figured out how to talk to humans. But even when I got to talk to the humans, the people would be like, several of them were like, listen, we're not happy about it, but you're not going to get any help.
Oh, dang.
They're like, you're screwed.
Huh. I'll be.
So.
Well, that's how we learn.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. Well, that's all I had. What else do you have?
That's all I got, too, my friend. I think we're running up on about an hour, which is pretty solid.
And we had some feedback from our buddy Jason there that said an hour and 40 minutes was long. So we had an hour and 40 on the last show, so we're good here at 50 minutes.
That's just... If we can riff for 2 hours, we'll riff for 2 hours, Josh.
I know. All right, buddy. Well, thank you for hanging out with us today. It's a Saturday, the 28th. We got July 4th coming up. We're going to... I've got nothing planned for July 4th because I'm working on the 5th.
Yeah, my dog's going to think that she's back in Vietnam.
Get her some meds, buddy. Get her some meds.
Trazodone coming in hot.
All right. Once again, thanks for everybody for hanging out. I'm Jason.
And I'm David.
This has been Very Tribal Podcast, Health, Wealth, and Happiness.